Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Struck down with a cerebral hemorrhage and declared dead at age 38, Richard Burns regained a life. Live or Die, a Stroke of Good Luck is the story of his resurrection. His memoir is an inspiring, wonderful tale of survival. How he regained consciousness and a life. The wise and witty story of his long and slow recovery and resurrection. A story of hope and practical advice for the victims of any serious illness and their families. Also about what he learned from the ordeal and how his life and values changed for the better with each step of his recovery. Richard is a retired television and advertising executive with over 40 years of experience in management, sales, and promotion for television, advertising, and public relations. Recognized nationally for his expertise of retail marketing through television advertising, an original madman. He played an instrumental role in the development of some of the most memorable advertising campaigns and cultural icons, including the Fruit of the Loom characters, the smile on the PSA Pacific Southwest Airlines aircraft, and created Woodsy the Owl for the Forest Service. He's received numerous community and professional awards, recognized for his work with several philanthropic and operating foundations. He's the author of numerous business and newspaper articles, holds a BA in economics from Stanford, currently resides in Carmel, California. Live or Die, A Stroke of Good Luck is his first book, and Richard Dick Burns is our guest on This Week in America. Dick, a pleasure to have you with us on the program today.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Also, would you let me meet this guy? He sounds interesting.
He really doesn't. I'm looking forward. I'm going to have the pleasure of meeting him here in about 10 seconds, and I'm really looking forward to this. There's so much in your background. We'll do the advertising at a later date and sort of touch on that maybe through the program. But this book, Live or Die, A Stroke of Good Luck, this really is a book about survival, isn't it? There's something there for people who are suffering what you did, and family members and friends who go through that same process. This is a book of survival.
Yes.
Talk about that, because it is almost what sort of a roadmap that people can use to go through the recovery process.
Let me put it this way. It's supposed to be. Number two, I will say one phrase that it closes the book. This sums it all up. Just remember, it's not how you handle something. It's what you do with how you handle it that counts.
Well, that is so powerful. I mean, what you went through at age 38 and basically being left for dead, you're decades older now, and what a great life that you've had. Let's go back to what happened at age 38, a very young age. I understand what you're in for surgery. How did this whole thing take place in the first place?
I believe it was the first Super Bowl, and we were at a party. And I leaned over a balcony, and my glasses fell down and broke. To get them fixed, they discovered I had end result. They had to operate on the eyes. It was a detached retina. They had to operate on the eyes, and they turned the eye over, and they did something. And a week later is when I had the stroke, the hemorrhagic stroke, and that was it, baby. Until the next morning, scared the hell out of him when the sheet moved.
You talk about this so well in the book, and you're sort of living the experience through you. Talk about that when you regain your consciousness and you find out that you are not really, I mean, you're there, your mind is fine, but you're really not able to interact with these people, are you?
No. I couldn't talk or walk for like 5 years, 4 or 5 years. I bounced off things. I made it work. This is why the book, it's a motivating guide to recovery.
Yes.
It's a story of hope and survival, period. And sure, it was tough. You suck it up and make it work. That's what life's all about.
Well, yeah, and if you look at this now and you go, boy, he's had a really successful life. He's doing well. He's written this book now. You mentioned the years that you were not able to walk. In fact, you say in the book, you're down, you're depressed, you hurt. You think, maybe if I had a gun, I'd use it. Talk about that state of mind and then getting out of that state of mind, which you were able to do.
This was the third hospital. It was 1969. And I was feeling rather despondent because they had to take care of an operation. It had to do with other parts of the body. And I said, if I had a gun, I think I'd shoot myself. And a voice came to me and it said, if life is worth living, then the words are not quite the same, but suck it up and make it work.
Yes.
We've been talking ever since. I have a whole chapter about this. You know who the voice was. I needn't go further.
Well, in the book you will find, such a remarkable story. It's by our guest on the program, Richard L. Burns. The book is Live or Die, A Stroke of Good Luck. His website, excellent website, a lot of great information there, is astrokeofgoodluck.com. Book is published by Author Reputation Press. You'll find the book there as well, all of the usual places as well. And it's interesting because if this happened today, it probably would have had a different outcome and a quicker outcome, wouldn't it? You were right at the ground floor of how you deal with something like this. So you're there with doctors that really were sort of trying to figure out what to do because there wasn't much of a track record there.
None. They threw up their hands after doing everything they could. Every test, everything that the books say you're supposed to. If you remember the old days of FDR and so forth, he died of a cerebral hemorrhage. And most people did. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what it was. And afterwards, I went through all kinds of testing in various hospitals and problems. And whether it's walking on a treadmill, sometimes words don't come that quickly to me these days. I'm not a kid anymore. They didn't know what to do or how to handle it. What happens very simply is this. In your brain, the base of the brain, and they found this out in 1992. They were doing some research on cancer down in Southern California. And they found this thing they called the rostral migratory stream in the back of the head. And what this is it's filled with stem cells. And these stem cells turn into neurons through the magic of your body, and they race around the body to the areas that need help, become the cells of that part of the body, and correct it. It takes time, and it takes you. You have to work at it until you're tired of it, and you do it over and over and over and over again until all of a sudden, it works. Then you move on to the next thing. This is the secret I discovered. You work on one thing at a time until that is done. For instance, I could not hold a glass of liquid in my right hand, or left for that matter, for 10 years. I couldn't eat properly for 25 years. You just work at it until you make it work. And once it works, you move on to something else that is a problem. This is a secret. Most people don't take the time. I found out what works and what doesn't work. And now, doctors, I spent 20-some-odd years running around the country to hospitals and doctors and survivors all over. And I learned all these things by working with these people. And I ended up teaching the doctors something. They learned, and I learned from them, and they learned from me. It was something very special. I'm very grateful and so forth that I can do this. I learned how, I was a spoiled brat. I was very successful. I had all kinds of money, all kinds of power, everything. Then all of a sudden, I had nothing. And I made it all work. Took time. 50-some-odd years, all told, since I died. And it's worth it, believe me. And here I am at my sweet young age, and I'm having a ball.
Well, and you really are in helping so many people. Do you mind telling us your age? Because we were talking before the show, and I want to see your driver's license and make sure you're not adding 20 years to it, because you sound much younger. How old are you now?
90.
And this happened
at
age
1930.
That's amazing. At age 38, it was going to be over. The doctors were saying, this is over. And for many people, they probably would have given in, and you went. And when you're talking about taking the time to do something, you're talking about not a couple of hours working on something. You're talking about years where you had to work on functions. And one thing you talk about is the concept of neuroplasticity. Talk about that, because you're sort of a pioneer in this area where regrowth and regaining some of these functions really had never been done before.
No, they hadn't. And neuroplasticity is a name the doctors have given to the body's healing function, so to speak. That's where I talk, that's where these stem cells come in. Example.
Yes.
There was a company that did work in Silicon Valley and in Japan. And they were able to repair damaged parts of the body, functions in parts of the body that were deemed irresponsive and dead and gone forever. I've been trying to get a hold of them because they're not here anymore. I don't know what's happened to them, whether and do they still exist. They were working with the organization, I can't even remember the name now, for the government that runs medicine and hospitals and so forth. Not at the FDA. I can't remember anymore.
Okay.
That's one thing that hasn't completely repaired. It takes me sometimes hours, maybe even day or so, before I remember something. This is so tough. You suck it up and make it work.
Well, and you certainly have, and you're talking about this. I mean, you were able to do something that at that time, 50 years ago, doctors didn't think was possible. I mean, you basically wrote some medical books, didn't you?
Well, let's put it this way. They're professionals. They wrote the books. All I did was advise.
Yeah, and be the patient that suddenly was doing things that they never thought was possible. Conversation, I want to tell you who our guest is on the program and information about the book. Richard L. Burns is a guest. Struck down with a cerebral hemorrhage, declared dead at age 38, regained a life. That's what we're talking about on the program in his memoir, Live or Die, A Stroke of Good Luck. His website is astrokeofgoodluck.com. Book available through the publisher, authorreputationpress.com, or the usual places as well. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. In the book, in talking about this recovery, you talk about golf and the role that played. And you talk about the first day of golf when you're trying to get out on the course and have a lesson and regain all of this. And you talk about that being a turning point. And this is sort of typical of what you went through with each of these phases as you evolved when you regained. What was that like? Why was that a turning point for you? And again, this was persistence was the key word to getting through this.
Correct. I was told by all the doctors that, particularly my doctor, who was a hell of a guy, he's no longer with us, but he's a guy who had me smoke a cigarette to relax my nerves and get rid of the bleeding ulcers. That's a whole other story. But to answer your question, Rick, golf, they said I could never do anything sports-wise. And I'm sorry, I'm an old-ass jock. Yeah, and that helps a little bit. So I went out there and played golf, and the first time was rather a disaster. If you remember the story, Casey at the Bat, well, that's me with the golf club.
Okay, yes.
I think I hit 250 above par. I ended up a 19 handicap. I had a little back problem. I'll be playing golf again soon, but I had to give it up for a year or a year and a half. It just takes trial and error and dedication and practice. And you do it over and over and over. What's the old saying? Do it over and over and over again to get it right?
Yes, yes.
Isn't that what she tells her husband?
Yep, and that's what you have done, and the results have been so remarkable. I mean, looking back on the last 50 years, you've been a functioning member of society and then some. You're involved in service and a number of boards as a director. I mean, this has been a good life for you, hasn't it, despite everything? You've gone forward.
A better life. Because, yes, I have gone forward. As I say, I was spoiled. I had everything. And I had nothing. And I made something of myself. I became the management consultant. The George S. May Company, which no longer exists, was the largest consulting firm in the world. And I don't know, I guess they wanted to take a flyer. And so they hired me. And we were business doctors, and we went around and told people how to make it work. I'll never forget the people in Denver. They had a problem. They kept losing money, and they couldn't figure out why. And the reason why was very simple. The bookkeeper kept it hid. But they were playing the horses, and they were raising horses, and they were losing money hand over fist. So if you look hard enough at anything and work hard enough at anything, you can get to the bottom of whatever and make it work. I thank the Lord I was able to talk to people and to help them with their lives, whether it's managerial practice, supervisory practice, whatever it may be. And incidentally, sometimes I still slur my speech a bit. I apologize. But this is better than not being able to speak at all.
Well, it certainly is. No apology is necessary. The words that you speak are so powerful, and you've helped so many people. Those that have suffered from cancer, heart attacks, other diseases can relate to what you've gone through to an extent. Maybe not what you've gone through, but it's a setback, and they have to deal with challenges. And family members, and talk about the importance of that, of having friends and family and people that are there that sacrifice so much to work with you and with other people.
This is one of the important things that I try to imbue with patients and survivors around the country. Their families had to sacrifice a heck of a lot,
yes,
and put up with a heck of a lot. They want to help you, but they've got interests and problems too, and you've got to understand that. And if you make yourself, as you try to understand others, they come to understand you better. It just works this way. I found that for 20 years running around the country with hundreds of people, survivors, patients of stroke and heart attack and Alzheimer's and other diseases. I could list them all. Cancer, whatever. Family is so important because they're the ones backing you up. My business partners, when I got sick, didn't want me around anymore because I embarrassed them with the slurred speech and all that kind of thing. So they blackmailed me in the industry. I had to get to work elsewhere. Well, I found out how to get to work elsewhere. Even if it meant cleaning toilets and picking fruit in the fields, whatever it took. I had three kids to support.
Well, it's such an inspirational, powerful, motivating story, and it's a great read of what all Richard went through. Again, 38 years old, just at the pinnacle of the advertising career, as I say, a madman before we even knew what most of us knew what the expression was. And all of a sudden, he's being told brain dead, and we don't think he's going to make it. In fact, we're pretty sure he's not going to make it. You've got a quote in the book. I've got a minute or so left in the program. The brain was inching forward in some sort of recovery mode, and I knew I could make it all work for a new and improved version of me. Talk about that, because you really not only physically went through a transformation here, it sounds like emotionally, mentally, you also went through, from a personality standpoint, went through a transformation.
Rick, every step I took to improve myself, number one, ended up improving things for others. And number two, as I improved things for others, it came back. What you do for other people ends up helping you. This is why there are nonprofits. This is why there are organizations in this country that make it work for those of indigent means or whatever problem they have. They learn the hard way just as I learned the hard way. And it's so gratifying. I am so much a better and happier person now than I was. It's just amazing. And when you see what it does for others, it makes your life worthwhile.
Well, it has to. When you find somebody has been going through tough times and they pick up a copy of Live or Die, A Stroke of Good Luck, and it gives them that motivation that they need to go forward. Not going to be easy, but have a goal and you will get there. This book is full of simple, practical advice about meeting challenges, getting well, and winning. It is so well done. A memoir of an inspirational tale of a tale of survival. Dick, unfortunately, we're out of time this time, but I would love to do this again. We can talk about advertising at some point. I love the career that you've had. I love the smiling front of the aircraft from the old PSA. I'm reading this, and it's like, yeah, I can visualize that in the Fruit of the Loom characters, and of course, Woodsy the Owl. So much success in that part of your life, and so much success, probably exceedingly successful, in helping people by sharing your story and giving them hope and the inspiration that they need to get through it. Thank you so much for being with us on the program.
You're welcome, and thank you. You make me feel very worthwhile.
Well,
thank you.
You are. And Richard Burns is our guest. The book is astrokeofgoodluck.com. Well, that's the website. The book is Live or Die, A Stroke of Good Luck. Information at his website, astrokeofgoodluck.com. Also from the publisher, authorreputationpress.com, the usual places as well. And, of course, information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back on today's program after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.